The House Veterans Affairs Committee wants more details on why the Veterans Affairs Department let 14 contractor employees telework from countries like China and India. The latest VA Inspector General's report on the agency's cybersecurity once again calls into question VA's actions and reactions to the potential problems. In the latest edition of his feature Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller writes about the latest concerns from members of Congress about VA's cybersecurity. Jason's here to discuss what he found. Start off with what the Inspector General's office found out about contractors accessing VA's network from some of these foreign countries. It's mind-boggling.
Right. I mean, in fact, they looked at from October 2011 to February 2014, they had evidence of at least, and this is the ones I know of, 14 different contractors. So these are employees of vendors who work for VA, basically teleworking from outside the continental United States. And the countries do include China, India, Costa Rica, Canada even, which is not that big of a deal, but it is a path into the network from an outside country. And basically, they either received permission to telework or they did it without proper authorization during vacation or business travel. And what the IG said was, why is this even allowed? But second is, why don't you have a policy that specifically says you can't access our network from outside the country? And third, why did your reaction take so long? So, for instance, one of the things that, the IG says is that VA CIO Steph Warren said, stop it now, cease and desist. But by the time that message got implemented further down the chain, another couple months went by before they finished. They finally cut off the access. And then the other piece is, IG said, why don't you have a policy that talks about the teleworking outside the U.S.? It just doesn't seem logical. And in fact, VA said, you know, in the report, you're right. We made that change, and now we do have a policy.
Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling to me. When I read the column that's up on federalnewsradio.com, that, I mean, the whole idea with all of the other problems around cybersecurity that VA has had, I have a hard time understanding how you'd look at that and go, yeah, that's okay. There's a whole debate
in the IG report that says, well, they asked the lawyers for advice. The lawyers said there's no policy prohibiting it. They have made comments from people high up in Steph Warren's organization saying, I'm not sure this is a good idea. Yeah. And the response was, yeah, but there's no policy against it, right?
Right. And so it's a classic debate, I guess, about the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. And I know we're not talking about literally a law in this case.
But a good concept, a smart move. Would this make sense to have John Doe teleworking from China? What do we know about China? We know that China monitors their internet traffic. We know that China, you know, can there's been instances where they've taken devices and put malware on it to open back doors.
Yep.
Why would you even say yes?
Well, and that's the issue that I think trumps even what you're suggesting, which is also a very legitimate issue. How do you look at this and think this is a good idea? I think the issue that trumps that is, how do you look at this and say, yeah, this is something that we wouldn't mind if the Veterans Affairs Committee found out about, because the Veterans Affairs Committee has found out about so many other things regarding Veterans Affairs cybersecurity issues.
And you know, VA finally put a policy in place that said non-NATO countries, you cannot telework or access VA's network from. So Canada actually would have been probably okay.
Right.
You know, Great Britain would have been okay. You know, some of those countries. But the point is there was not even a policy in place where that said, if Francis Rose is a VA employee or a contractor, we're going to give you a laptop. That laptop is going to be wiped clean to start with. We're going to reimage your machine. We're going to let you go to the foreign country, use your machine. And then when you come back, we're going to take that machine again off the network.
Uh-huh.
We're going to look for it, make sure it's healthy, so to speak, and then potentially reimage it again so there's no concern. They didn't even have that process in place. And I think that's the IG pointed out too.
Okay. That's one other thing that I want to point out before we move on is, do we have a sense if these are employees who were only traveling and working while they were traveling on behalf of the contractor? Or are these employees who are permanently located in these locations around the world? That's an important distinction.
These are employees who are traveling on behalf of the contractor. Sometimes they had family emergencies. They had one gentleman had a sick parent and had to go back to India and he said, listen, I could take 3 weeks off or I could work while I'm there. And they said, listen, you're an important part of the team, if we can make this work, let's make it work. Mm-hmm. The other person, you know, there's other instances where people may have been on vacation and said, well, let me check in on my email and let me check in on a project that I'm working on. So they weren't, you know, nothing was malicious. They weren't trying to trade secrets. Mm-hmm. They just weren't, you know, people hate this term, but using good cyber hygiene.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You also write in this week's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller, about a couple of people in the cyber realm who are on the move, not at VA necessarily, but who are just moving around. What do you got?
So I think the two big names is John Stewart. We reported back in February that he was retiring. We now know that he is definitely leaving on May 1st. Mm-hmm. It's a big loss for the federal community. He was at DHS, as many people believe, call him the father of the continuous monitoring effort across government. And he will be replaced, at least on an interim basis, by Mark Neidinger. And Mark actually got a promotion to become the deputy director of the Federal Network Resilience Office, what they call FNR. No relation to Federal News Radio, of course.
Exactly.
And in the meantime, Mark will be both acting director and deputy director until they name a new person. And I've heard sources tell me that John actually has a landing spot. I'm still trying to get them confirmed, but it's a very interesting landing spot. Once I get that confirmed, you know, I'll report on that.
Of course.
The other big name is John Banghart. Now, he has been over at the White House for the last about year and a half, and his job is basically the old one of Federal Director of Federal Cybersecurity. So from the White House's perspective, he was leading the effort around continuous monitoring, trusted internet connection, HSPD-12, the smart card identity logical access event initiative. And his role was, from the White House perspective, looking at the policy, the procedures, from a big role. So that's a big loss, because that's now at least the third person to roll through that position. Two other names you probably remember, Earl Crane.
Yep.
He held it before John, and mm-hmm. before Earl was Andy Osmond, who's now at DHS.
Mm-hmm.
So having someone in that role is important, because they work directly with OMB, who works directly with DHS. So you're losing a fairly big wig.
It's a pretty top level.
One other person on the move, not related to cybersecurity, but someone who's been on the show we know a lot, is Martha Doris. She is changing jobs within the General Services Administration. She's leaving as the director of the Office of Innovative Technologies in the Office of Citizen Services and Innovative Technologies, and she's moving to our friend Mary Davies' shop in the Federal Acquisition Service, and Martha will now be the director of the Office of Strategic Programs.
I'm trying to imagine an office with Martha and Mary in it on an ongoing basis. You have another item in the notebook this week about a new RFI from the GSA about identity management. What's the story there?
Now, this is an interesting one, because, you know, we've talked a lot about something called connect.gov, mm-hmm. and this used to be called the Federal Cloud Credential Identity Exchange. So it's on the second iteration of names. And this is the idea of, how can agencies using third-party online credentials like your Yahoo or your PayPal tokens and use them for government services, so mm-hmm. they don't have to rebuild the same processes again.
Uh-huh.
So if Francis Rose wants to log on to Social Security and find out how much money you're due, you can just use your one credential instead of having to get multiple credentials.
Yep.
And what GSA is saying is, we're in the pilot stage. We think we're on a great path, but what would the future look like? And that's what the RFI says. What model do we want to use to make connect.gov more beneficial, more valuable to a broader set of people around the country? And so we have a link to that RFI right there on federalnewsradio.com. They can figure out if they want to respond and see if it's something that their business wants to do.
Do we have timelines on any of that?
We do know just a couple things on the RFI. The responses are due by June 19th, and GSA says it will hold an industry day before the responses are due. They didn't say when that industry day would happen. Probably figure May timeframe.
All right. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller, going inside the reporter's notebook. Thanks as always, my friend.
My pleasure.